close right there.
Just the comma and then dust the
All right.
Okay.
Can we bring the board to order? Are we ready? And Patricia, are we ready?
Sure.
Well, you're key to this, so I
I would have liked a few more minutes with board member Davis.
Yes.
Oh, forgot. So, yeah, thank you very much. The council keeps keeping me on the straight and narrow. All right. I completely forgot. We got to do public comment after lunch. And it's general public comment on things that haven't been. If there are people that weren't here in the morning and couldn't be here, or things that are not have not already been addressed. So I only have one person, Joe Murray.
Comment.
You can pull the microphone over to your mouth, please.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we can't hear you.
Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I'm going to talk about the adaptive management program this afternoon. I've been involved in that program since the year 2000 on the RSAG committee and as a member and a chair. We've contributed quite a few science projects to the program, DFC being one, bull trout overlay, hardwood conversion, and riparian extensive. Essentially, the program has been working, although there is a need for change. The board asked the adaptive management program administrator to investigate the board and make recommendations on how those changes might occur and what those changes might be. That's been done. As a participant, we only received that document on the 8th of May. And I would think that it's appropriate for the members of the program, CMER policy, and board members to have a chance to review that document before making a decision, and perhaps form a committee that would go through that, evaluate it, comment, make recommended changes, and bring a specific proposal to the board along with the material that could be used to edit the protocol and standards manuals. I think a couple things that need to be, three questions basically that need to be considered when you look at this is, will the changes enhance trust in the system? Will the changes enhance transparency? And will the changes enhance commitment? I've passed out a copy of a letter that talks about what I've just said, as well as several pages of recommended considerations for the program for your review. One note on those, they're bullet points, they're not numbered because there's no attempt to prioritize those. They're just things in general that we might want to consider. Thanks again for the opportunity, and contact me if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Microphone.
All right. Coming back on the water piping system. So, are you ready to put something up on the screen? And Mark, you want to come up to the table? I'll take us through this. So, to start discussion, this board member, Lori.
I move that the board acknowledge that policy has completed both stages
a dispute resolution, and the board is assuming management for the development of finally needed to have complete permanent water tagging system in the forest practices rules.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Board Member Sedin. Discussion. Cool. All members in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Next one, please. Would somebody like to start this one off?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
I move the board accept the policy consensus recommendations on existing approved water type modification form breakpoints.
Second.
Thank you. For the second, is that Board Member Balish? Thank you. Any discussion by the board?
Board Member.
I just want to acknowledge Mary Skurlock brought out some additional wording that she thought might be useful in this. I wasn't sure how to fit it in, but it may be something that we might want to add.
Yes, please. I'm looking for the February dispute resolution.
The specific wording.
Language. Yeah. I didn't do my homework at break on this one.
Mark, do you have?
Yeah, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Again, I'm Mark Engel with DNR, and Mr. Chair and members of the board. So I thank you for allowing us the time to make some amendments. This was an amendment. This does incorporate the amendment as offered by Mary. What this does is acknowledges the fact that we did put together consensus recommendations. This is a memo that was contained within your very first packet of, that was mailed out. It's under my cover memo. It does have four parts to it, but what this acknowledges is that memo in its entirety would be incorporated into the, this would be kind of direction to staff as we prepare the draft rules to incorporate all aspects of that memo.
Thanks for that clarification. Any other questions from board members? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you. So my suggestion here is that we take this one at a time. We seem to do better small bites of the apple. So would somebody like to take the first one?
I'll take the first one.
Thank you.
I'll just be all loud, I guess. I move the board accept the policy framework for a fish habitat assessment methodology, FHAM.
Second.
Thank you, Board Member.
Janicky.
You know, that's the problem, is those need to turn my way. Sorry.
It's, no?
I've been called.
So, any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, all members in favor, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion passes. Next one.
Mr. Chair.
Read off.
Yeah. Sure, Mr. Chair.
Sir.
I can't see the screen. and talk into this microphone. So, I, Board Member Davis / Joe Storr, move the board direct the ANPA to contract a third-party technical expert to convene and lead a group of internal and external science technical experts to work under the direction of the board. The third-party technical expert will consult with the TFW Policy Committee caucuses to identify team members.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion by board members? You want some clarifying questions, hopefully. Member Nelson.
Not a clarifying question, but a comment. We're going to put this technical group on a pretty short timeline, and we're expecting them to function in a pretty, we expect them to move pretty quickly is what I'm trying to say. The group that has already been working on this project, the group that has been meeting and came up with the very framework that we're talking about here, is a very diverse group. There are people from, you know, the West Side Tribe, DFW, Don's been working on it, landowners. So I would like to suggest that however this group comes together to identify team members, that we keep it with that core group and not make it one from column A and one from column B and end up with a 20-person technical group that isn't going to get done on time. I think they're going to need some other type of expertise to round it out that isn't what you might expect. They're going to need some GIS people, they're going to need some statistical people, they're going to need some of those type of folks. But I wouldn't see this as being a group much larger than the one that's already been working. That's just my comment. And it's because of the efficiency and because of the short time frame we're asking them to do this.
Appreciate your concern. My concern is we also need to make sure that somebody's on the group to address Eastside issues. And as you said, we have to have probably some science folks on there that address any gaps that group might have. Any other discussion? Board Member Barrera.
Excuse me, I wanted to agree with what Tom said. Recognizing we need some outside expertise, and this is calling for adding that expertise. Excuse me, and if there's, you know, somebody from the east side missing, then let's recruit somebody to that team from the east side. But I think the technical group had largely reached agreement on most of the technical issues already, and they're going to be up to speed and able to move quickly. I think keep them working.
Board Member Janicki.
Well, first a comment. It would have been easier for me and I assume the other board members to have a redlined version of what became the motions rather than me trying to figure out what phrases had changed. But one of the phrases that changed here is adding a layer, and I just want to make sure I understand it, that when it says I move the board direct the ANPA to contract a third-party technical expert, so we're hiring a technical facilitator of sorts versus the staff recommendation, which had just said we will convene a group. So there's an extra layer in there. Is that?
So let me turn to Board Member Davis, because this was your sort of thought.
Oh yeah, now you dump it all on me.
It's all about you today, Joe.
Oh, I feel special.
I get concerned about all the stuff that ANPA has to do and is responsible for. I get a little bit of, I've heard concerns about folks being concerned about bias, even in, you know, or bias influence over the technical folks in that group. And so that's kind of some of the reasoning behind how do we help the ANPA not just be sideswiped by all this work. At the same time, how do we have like that scientific expertise that can deliver to the ANPA the recommendations to bring forward to the board, which will be potentially a following motion down the road. Does that make sense? Or?
In your vision, Board Member Davis, what role the AMPA is in this group?
Yeah.
So that we can be clear about that?
Yeah. In my mind, again, a motion that I'll propose later is that the AMPA would, the AMPA still is the person to bring the information to the board. The technical expert, third-party technical expert lead would lead that group to continue their great conversations, because I agree that we have the right people that have been working on this, and maybe some additional capacity to make sure we're not losing any gaps there, would roll all up the recommendations and the metrics and deliver that to the AMPA in order to bring this, the AMPA to bring it forward to the board in August. Nowhere in there did I intend that the AMPA wouldn't be part of watching the process happen, but wouldn't have to have the burden of necessarily being the facilitator for the process.
And Member Nelson.
I agree with the concept that he just talked about. My only concern is that, and I didn't really see this, is this going to put another layer of process in here? Are we going to have the AMPA contract out for a third-party contractor to lead the technical group? And is that going to take... I'm worried about the time frame on all this, quite frankly. And is there a way, could one of the technical experts be this person? But my first question is, what's the time frame that the AMPA is going to have to contract with this third party? I was assuming the technical group that was already working would take off tomorrow and continue working. If they have to, kind of go out and find other work and do other things while we put together this this contract for another third party, that concerns me. So I'm not quite sure how this is going
to
work.
So let's ask staff to address this, either Mark or Hans or both.
I agree with the extra layer that this is not a possible task to accomplish by August. Hiring, going out to an RFP, hiring somebody, that's a month away minimum. If there's interviews, maybe the stakeholder committee or a group of stakeholders will be part of the interview process. Getting a contract in place, we just lost a month, just right off the bat. It's already a big job, it's already a big task. The August deadline is going to be difficult either way in the best case, and this just takes the possibility of that off the table.
So, Board Member Balish.
Just a suggestion. I agree if that's the process you use, but it might be worth checking. The state has a master contractor list of people who've already gone through the RFP process. All you have to do is do a quick phone interview and you can hire them. I don't know if there's anybody that's qualified to do this work on that list, but that's a possibility.
The point there about the technical expert, this is a very specific area of expertise, and relying on one technical expert to convene the group is a difficult thing. People that are outside experts in this particular arena are going to be looking at multiple perspectives, typically. And so an expert is probably not the best way to go. It would probably be a group or a team. And so that just adds other complexity to that.
Board Member Davis.
Thank you. I hear you. I also wonder if we already have people on certain contracts that maybe haven't been extinguished that could be extended. I think there's still going to be time because we're hearing loud and clear that maybe we don't have enough East Side tribal participation or tribal or East Side technical expertise participating. So we got a time frame. I don't want to blow things up. I get that we're trying to get this done fast because we've just been working on it for 16 years. Or better, but I also think we want to get it right. And part of a concern I have is that technical group that we're talking about with the AMPA already has spent time together, right? And we're back here with policy, pulling policy out of the process, and working directly between the board and this group. So what's different tomorrow than what has happened with that same group of folks? And maybe there's enough there, and you know, I'm happy to live with modifications to my initial proposal, but I just don't want them to churn and come back, and we're right back here with what decision did we make?
Right, Hans. I mean, policy brought us a consensus recommendation that it wouldn't be just some of these technical experts that have been working informally to date. And there was always a notion that we would bring in additional science. So how are we gonna do that in a timely fashion? Or do you think the scientists, as Jeff's or board member Davis suggests, may already be on retainer with us or someone else?
We do have some existing contracts with some people that would be good options for this, but not as a sole kind of person, number one. Number two, it's really important to note that the Fish Habitat Technical Group is different than the group that put together the letter to policy about what the next steps were that Jim Peters mentioned, which neither of those groups were sanctioned by the Adaptive Management Program. We're not operating under the guidance from the Adaptive Management Program. And so it is a big difference. And so it isn't the same group, same dynamic set up in a different way. The group was asked to work on electrofishing, most of the same composition of the group. Brought some recommendations forward, mostly in consensus, not all in consensus. They worked on the FN break, which led to down this FHAM road in the first place. Some of the items were in consensus, not all of the items were in consensus. They met after the FHAMs had been presented to policy to try to look at where the similarities were on their own in an organic way, which people really liked, that was how it was set up. But they didn't have that structure and that guidance for how that decision was brought back to policy. I think that was a mistake. I think that you do have the right representation from people that participate in the Adaptive Management Program on that group. They certainly are the practitioners and have scientific expertise on the subject. Both are represented. So you don't want to lose that. I would argue against losing that, no matter what the constitution or the composition of the technical group would be. But you do have to be careful that it isn't too big, because if it's too big, you won't get anywhere. So if I was asked to convene a technical expert as a facilitator, I wouldn't be able to get the same level of expertise that I would want in a technical as an outside technical group member, I guess, because they wouldn't fit in the facilitator role very well and wouldn't want to be a facilitator. And we would really be wanting their expertise as a participant, not as a facilitator. If you hire a facilitator to put together a group of technical experts, you could get to that, but now you've added two layers. So given the constraints on time and talking about efficiencies to get a deliverable in August, I think where policy started has a higher probability of being successful, but in making use of existing contracts, of course, definitely. Part of the problem is the existing contracts that we have started with off-channel habitat and then also a technical review of FHAM, not necessarily the development of the metrics. And so several of the people that have participated would not be the right people to participate. And so there's, you know, one or two that would be appropriate. Probably want to seek people with more depth than they currently have. GIS is another skill set. If we're going to do a kind of a meta-analysis of sorts, I think that we want to be able to tap into. And, you know, we have the University of Washington under contract for doing some work, so that could happen pretty quickly. But, you know, I would just be precautionary about the expectations for deliverables in 3 months.
Okay, so what's the will of the board regarding adding a third-party person? There was a consensus decision by policy to say there will be a science, internal and external, science/technical experts work on this. And I understand your board member Davis's concerns, but there is a timing issue. Board member Nelson.
Yeah, my comment is that these are changes, proposed changes to what we saw before lunch. I think all of us sitting up here did the same thing when we got a copy of this. We all started circling and tinkering with it and wordsmithing it. I agree with what one of the witnesses said earlier today. I've got some changes I would like to make to this too, but I think for the good of the order, and again, my main concern is the time frame in which we're going here. I would be more than happy to, we've accepted a couple of changes already, but from this point down, we go back to the original, which I'm ready to support. It's Nelson.
Yeah. you want to go with what's up on the...
No, I would prefer to go back to the original language that said, staff recommends the board direct the AMPA to convene a group of internal external science/technical experts to work under the direction of the board, comma, in consultation with the TFW policy committee caucuses. That was the original.
Yeah. Probably need to add that last phrase to clarify what the caucuses are being accepted about. Board member Davis, do you consider that a friendly amendment?
Absolutely.
And the seconder?
Yes.
Thank you.
But just to be clear, we're including the last phrase about.
Yes.
Getting there.
Okay.
No, there's the.
It's just the. We're just removing the third party piece, right?
Yeah.
Just maybe clarifying question and comment. Just want to make sure that this gives the AMPA the ability to draw from existing experts in various committees, but also add new and make up the committee as we determine.
No.
That was not in response to you.
I will stop watching this.
Okay, so I think we're okay with your comments.
Okay. Yes.
Have we got this figured out?
May I make a request?
Can we?
Not about motion, just in general.
What's that?
The request is that all of you represent caucuses that have expertise and experience in what we're talking about. And so when we're looking to draw from the expertise, I would ask that you help contribute the members that are the right people to help to make this group successful.
Thank you. Patricia, we had added a phrase at the end that we want to keep.
That I just deleted?
Yes.
It's the, not the metric stuff, it's the, to identify, yeah, there it is.
Okay.
That's it. Stop right there. Okay, are we clear on what we're voting on, board members? I want to make sure everybody is good with that language. All right. So everybody in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Here comes the fun one. Board Member Davis.
Since I did such a good job on the last one, maybe I can take this one too?
Yeah, sure.
So I move the board direct the group of internal and external science technical experts to determine those elements that would constitute a barrier and or potential habitat break. The group is directed to review the FAM listed habitat break features for combinations of primary, secondary features to determine those physical, biological, and chemical elements that would individually or in combination constitute a high probability the potential habitat break is coincident with a significant change in habitat, including stream size, stream gradient, the interaction of size and gradient, and the presence of barriers that limit accessibility, thus the appropriate point of to initiate a protocol survey.
Is that only one sentence?
But I had to breathe a couple times.
Yeah. I'll second.
Thank you, Board Member Lori. Okay, any discussion by board members? Board Member Sweeney.
Let's see. So I have. I know. I have a. This is wordsmithing, but I'm wondering if the board would entertain a little bit of wordsmithing on this. Board Member Davis.
Wait. It all depends.
Yeah. Well, let me throw it out, and then you can say, or you all can say. So, in the very first part there, instead of and or potential habitat break, what about just getting rid of the or and having it be and? So it's both of those things.
No, it's just, so it has to be both.
Yeah. Or another possibility is get rid of both the and or and just put a parenthesis around potential habitat break or comma PhD. So the thing I'm getting at, there are a couple comments, important comments that I took to heart about if there can be a habitat break when you have a tributary stream in there, and we're wanting to make sure that that's not in and of itself something that can be electrofished and said to not have fish in it. So when you've got a tributary coming into a main stem, that's a habitat break. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to have fish use at some point in the year. So there needs to be something else that makes sure that situation doesn't happen.
So Board Member Sweeney, let me ask a clarifying question. Mm-hmm. So are we talking about the tributary or the main stem? Because
the node
is in the main stem. The question is, what are you trying to do? Because I'm confused. We've been sort of focused on the main stem of a stream so far. And what I need to understand is, are you talking about what happens in the tributary? Obviously, if there's no change in the habitat as it goes up the tributary, then that's a different direction as opposed to just going up the main stem. So can you describe what you're trying to do? Here.
Right, so we heard testimony from two members of the public who have experience in this that were concerned about calling the node of intersection between a tributary and the main stem habitat break. Because they're different, right? You know, smaller stream coming into a bigger stream. And using that in and of itself as a place to electrofish. And then if you electrofish March to July, you're going to miss the potential window of when that type of
tributaries from being used. And so we're trying to make sure that there's a screening system that takes out the potential to use just the node between the tributary and the main stem, which can be called a habitat, right? So we're wanting to have there be, to make sure that the system identifies some place where fish can't access or use.
So my assumption is when a tributary comes into the stream, it needs to be a subset tributary in order to either change it. That to be a habitat break as you move upstream the main stem. Is that what we're talking about? In other words, there has to be a significant amount of flow change in order for that node to be a habitat break. Would be an example of a habitat break. And above that, there may not be enough flow to support fish or other creatures. But is that what we're talking about?
No, I think what we're talking about is the use of a change in habitat as a reason to elect it. And going up the tributary and saying we're going to exclude this tributary as potential fish habitat. Because that tributary can serve as refugia and high flows in the wintertime. We're trying to prevent the use of just that intersection being identified as habitat break.
So isn't that should be dealt with, a tributary should be dealt with the same way as the real estate?
My understanding is that it's not.
I remember Nelson. Thank you.
Got leaning that to turn it.
I think I understand what she's saying, and I would tend to agree, but I think that it's an issue that should be taken care of with the technical team coming forward. I don't think it's something that we have to fix today. We're going to be back in August to actually go through the rulemaking procedure, so I'm sure there's going to be some other tweaks we're going to want to do at that point.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to say again, before we get into wordsmithing it all the way through, I would still prefer to take the original language all the way through myself and beyond with it. Other point I wanted to make was that we're not on to the last one yet, but I'm strongly going to urge the board to get this in place in August, get it out there, get it worked through, and as the Fed said earlier today, they'd like to see something in 2018. I would condition my approval of this thing on having that technical team come back in 18 to validate everything we're going to decide between now and then. Just to throw it out there.
Okay.
So I'm sensing that people think it's too much to say you need both the barrier and habitat break.
Well, I think the question on the table by board member Nelson is can we rely on the technical group to figure that one out?
So are you saying
board member Davies
to leave it as and or? Is that what you're suggesting?
My suggestion was leaving it as and or, but my suggestion is also going back to the original paragraph, which had and or.
Just
or. Okay, then add and if that's potential. I don't think it makes any difference personally.
Well, I agree with the concern. I think it's dealt with in the second part of the paragraph, and that's what the technical group will look at. I think. Saying that it has to be a barrier sort of defeats the discussion about what a habitat break is, which is, as you were saying, flow. Mm-hmm. I mean, flow could be the habitat break. So maybe there's no barrier, but there's not enough flow to support fish. So we want both those things considered.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
So we need to keep the
yes, I think the hand is always.
Right. And I was suggesting taking that
whole. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I said both crossed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how they're applied is.
Leave it the way it was. Take out the
board. No,
not board member Davis, it's your motion.
Golly, that's the last time I'm going to do a motion. I mean, my preference is we keep both in. Because I do think, you know, and maybe I'm getting hung up on what I think visually is a barrier. But there's going to be some things like we have in the secondary characteristics that are, hey, fish aren't going there because there's no food. Or you can get out on the coast where you have a lot of like cedar bogs, so the water is pretty acidic. And so fish aren't wanting to go there anyway. And so that's not, I guess you could argue that's a barrier because the conditions aren't right for fish to access. And so my feeling is that we keep both and or, because there's going to be physical barriers and then there'll be other reasons why fish may not use that habitat. Does that make sense? Or that it's not fish habitat because they don't want to go there.
Yeah, and I guess as long as it's understood, and I see what you're saying about it in the second part of the motion, it's understood that a habitat break prevents fish from using
that
area.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Should we add that?
I think that's what that phrase in the very last line is about.
President,
limit accessibility.
Yeah, and so, you know, I would respectfully disagree with Board Member Nelson's request to go back to the original, because having the word accessibility in the new motion, I think, is very, or the revised motion is important.
So let me ask this. So we're back to what Board Member Davis put on the table. Member Nelson, do we need to make any amendments to this motion?
I'm trying to read it again. It's a really long sentence.
Or Member Willen.
I kind of feel a bit blindsided here from what the original staff recommendation was on the motions, and then we come back from lunch and now we've got all this wordsmithing that's going on here that we're trying to interpret. And part of this motion here, and we haven't even addressed the last part of this paragraph, which also includes the other language such as size, stream gradient, and all of those other things. So I would also like to know the reasoning why we went from the original staff recommendation. It's been wordsmithed. We've had changes in the content of these proposed motions. Frankly, sounds like there's a lot of misunderstanding moving forward now. And I guess that's just a comment that I have here. But I would also like to know why the other language was added, if we can figure out the first part.
Okay. So let me take a shot at this. So if we can get by the first sentence and go to the additions in the latter part, I believe we heard testimony this morning that accessibility was important to many of the public that commented on this morning. And we also did have consensus recommendations around size and gradient. And so it was felt that that should be included in there as well. So that's why those suggestions were in the motion.
Okay, and that was my assumption.
Anybody want to add anything to that?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, quite frankly, the department wanted accessibility in there as well, right? And so if we were to have just proposed, or if I would have just proposed to include accessibility, then by the writing and the reading, you could see that that could be perceived as preferential to all the other things that we already had consensus around. So I felt like it was important to include all of those components, both from the consensus piece and then adding in the accessibility.
Thank you. Board Member Nelson.
Yeah, since we're destined to wordsmith here, I had originally written down that
takes the original version, and where it says is coincident with a significant change in habitat, I had included, instead of this laundry list of some of the things to consider, but not all of them, including accessibility, I put in the phrase, that reduces the likelihood of providing fish habitat. I'm a little bit concerned with listing some but not all of the conditions that we're asking the technical team to look at. I felt more comfortable with the original version, which said, this is the issue we want you to look at. You tell us what is the most accurate way to look at these things. And I'm a little bit concerned that we're listing some of them, maybe most of them, maybe part of them. But I don't want to hamstring them by having, okay, these are the items you want to look at. You know, they know more about this than I do, so I would rather have a generic phrase, which I thought the first version provided, frankly.
Well, Nelson, I don't think there was any intention by the addition of that last piece to limit what the technical and science group will look at.
So you can explore.
The second, we still have the words up there that says, they're going to look at the habitat break features for combinations of primary, secondary features, you know, so either individually or in combination, so.
Well, it says including.
Yeah.
It's not exclusive.
Yeah, so I think we're okay there. We're not trying to keep it.
Okay.
We can do that too.
I think part of it is just that it's such a long, awkward sentence, so I'm trying to take the last phrase and figure out what it applies to the front phrase.
Where's Hans?
Any other comments from staff? Or, I mean, from board members on this? Let me ask Hans whether he thinks in convening this group, he has a clear understanding of what the group is going to do.
I do in the first sentence, and I do in the first half of the second sentence. And with the details there, by identifying the primary and secondary features, you already capture those specifics with the exception of the accessibility piece. So if that one was the important one to add, I think you're good with primary and secondary, and then focus on some way to deal with that additional accessibility piece instead of a long run-on sentence.
You mean after including?
Can we highlight
right.
The part that we're talking yes. about up here?
So the word
just leave it is fine. I think I finally understand how the sentence works now. So. I'm a script.
Yeah, but I also want to make sure staff understands it because they have to implement it.
The detail about after the word including, again, with the exception of accessibility, is redundant because by talking about the primary and secondary, you get those plus more that you didn't list.
Yeah.
Right. So the question, you're not answering my question, Hans, is we're being redundant, but does that mean you don't understand?
No, I understand.
Board member Nelson is ready to go.
So, no change.
I'm fine with Mr. Davis's addition.
Thank you. Board member, if we're done talking about it. Would all the board members in favor of this motion please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions.
Congratulations,
thank
Mr.
You.
Never again.
All right.
It didn't change.
Got it. We
tried.
We tried.
Could I have somebody make another motion, please, on the final?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
I move the board direct the AMPA to bring the PHB recommendations to the board for their or our August 2017 meeting. The recommendations need to include the metrics to identify the PHB potential habitat.
Second?
I'm sorry, the word is PH.
Board member Caffer, seconded. Any discussion by board members?
Board member Nelson. Just my same comment that I'm fine with going along with this, but at the point we get to rulemaking, I will bring up the idea that we have a validation period probably the following season. If they take this season to do the work, I would like to see them reconvene to validate these things before we go to the next year.
So maybe what we should do is just as, if you all recall, looking back on the table we got on off-channel habitat, on the backside of that table were recommendations from that group on what had to happen next, i.e. what questions had to be answered. You know, it could be validation, it could be further research and so forth. So I would expect this group to bring that kind of information back to the board members. Do you need something in writing to capture that, or are you good with that?
No, I just want it on the record. I don't think it's something we need to discuss and put into motion at this point, but I'm just putting on notice that when we do write the official rule, I want to have validation as part of this.
Okay. All right.
Support that.
Board member Janicki.
Just for clarification, so by directing AMPA to bring the technical group's recommendations back to the board, so the understanding, my understanding anyway, is that it doesn't have to get routed back through policy. This, we're asking for scientific information to come straight up here without invoking more meetings for that full policy. Okay.
Correct. That was our first motion.
One other issue before we take the vote. Do we have, in other words, we're going to direct the AMPA and the technical group to go forward immediately and start working on this. Do we have funds allocated for this? Are we?
It's our last.
Is that our last one? I don't see it up there.
Well,
there is funding in the proposed budget for the board to approve today, money to go towards the water typing system. So there is funding.
Perfect. That's what I needed to hear.
And we do have some end of year money that we can get kick started with. We do have a biennial change, so everybody wants everything to happen fast. And the reality in state government is when you have a biennial change, you gotta redo contracts.
One clarification point with the discussion about validation, as we're looking to contract with outside experts, if we want that group to develop a plan after they bring recommendations to the board that you want to have implemented in validation next season or in a subsequent season, it'd be helpful to have clarity about that now, so when we're developing the contracts that we make sure to include it.
With that, I would propose, if Mr. Davis would allow, an amended recommendation up there. I just assumed it was Jeff's. Then we add that to the final bullet up there, recommendation to the board for their August 2017 meeting, including a plan for validation of the proposed rule, or proposed, whatever you want to call it.
That's fine.
For 2018.
That's good.
2018, what?
To be clear. So, just for clarity, so they're not bringing us a rule in August. They're bringing us recommendations so that then the staff can go off and write rule / guidance with this information. So
that should be including a plan for validation of their recommendations.
Exactly. Or the eventual rule.
But at this point, it should be their recommendations.
I'd like to clarify that we're not asking for validation of the recommendations prior to it going
right. Right. All I'm saying is that if we do this work with the technical group in 2017, and according to what Hans just said, we have to have a plan for validating whatever they come up with in 2018. So in order to get that going, You need something in this motion, is what I understood.
To address your point about the importance of the validation, it's really just a procedural point of having, when we're doing the contracting, to make sure that it's included, that task is in there, and so everyone commits to following through on that element, rather than getting into a situation where we have to go back out and establish contracts.
And that additional phrase could say in 2018, but it's okay with the period there, because if they start earlier, they can start in 2017.
And I don't know if you mean evaluation or validation or evaluation and validation.
Well, I haven't seen the recommendations yet, but I think validation covers both, doesn't it?
About a validation, and I'm going to go back on myself. A plan for validation of the eventual renewal, and just leave it at that, because we don't know whether we're going to, we don't know what decisions we're going to make in August about those recommendations, right?
That's true.
Does that do it for you?
That's fine.
Yeah, I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you. Any other board discussion? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes.
See how easy that was?
What?
See how easy that was?
Yeah. It wasn't bad. We're working well together. Okay. We have to talk about off-channel habitat yet. Do I have a motion, please?
Please change.
States the same.
Did this change?
No.
I don't think that, Mark, are there any changes to this suggestion or motion?
There's no change to the staff recommendations. However, the note was added at the bottom, but that note was what I had verbally informed you that within the red and black rule language, the motion that you made in November, there is language that addresses the note at the bottom. That's that if there is additional information, if something comes forward, ID teams will remain in the role as a process to determine the site-specific circumstances that are identified in order to address those issues. That's current language that will be carried forward, and it would apply to both to this rule.
So that doesn't have to be part of the motion. Correct, because we've already, through consensus, agreed that right. Will be in the law.
Right. I mean, it would be, you could include it, but it'd be kind of a redundancy because you've already approved it.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion from one of the board members?
Yep, I would move that without the note. No more redundancy.
Second?
Second.
Board Member Janke.
Nelson
and then Janicki.
Did you read it?
Yeah. Oh, I have to read it?
Yes, please.
Oh,
long way.
That's why we're just here. I move off channel habitat, parentheses OCH, to include : type F channelized streams. The edge of OCH is bankful elevation. The outer edge of inundation is defined at the bankful elevation, parentheses, quote, edge, unquote, as defined in WAC 222-16-010. Second bullet, type F, non-channelized streams. The edge of OCH is the OHWL, which includes those portions of wetlands periodically inundated at the ordinary high water level period.
More discussion? Board Member Swedeen.
I'd like to propose that we truncate the very last sentence in the second bullet and just say the edge of off-channel habitat is the ordinary high water line, period.
Edge.
second to bring out the bottom.
Period after OH to WL.
So what does that do?
So we had discussion earlier about the fact that we'd like to take time between, so we're not proposing this, right?
Right.
In August, we're getting information, and we're going to figure out whether or not we can propose rules in August. And I would like the opportunity, so if we end it there, then the last part of that sentence, there's some disagreement on that still. If we take it out, there's no disagreement, and then we have a chance to, if we need modification or refinements to actual rule language later, we can do that. But everybody's agreed that the edge of OCH is ordinary high water lines. So we can leave it at that, and that provides the opportunity for additional discussion prior to having to hear us.
We actually agreed on this piece too, and it was whether extended portion of the wetland, if there is one, and that was the argument, was whether those things existed out there.
So what we heard in public testimony was that there is an interpretation of existing rule language that it's not portion of the wetland, it's the wetland. So it is the, which includes wetlands periodically inundated at the ordinary high water level, not a portion of the wetland. And there's an empirical dispute about that. And I'm trying not to take sides of it. I'm trying to keep open the possibility, since we're not making rule language today, that we can adequately resolve the difference of interpretation in the field. So this doesn't, this isn't saying anything about what's actually going on in rule language. It just reflects the fact that there was consensus that agreed that the edge of OCH is the ordinary high water line. It's then how you find that ordinary high water line in the field that's where there's still some disagreement. And given that we've got time for not rule language today, I would request the space not to have that last sentence, which is still part of the sentence, which is still in dispute. It doesn't limit any options. We could get there. I mean, we could, that could come back in if we have agreement that that's reality on the ground, and if it's not, we have a different description.
Mr. Chair, I'm sympathetic to that, but I am a little bit leery. We had a majority, 8-1, came forward with the total language. I would prefer